Well, it's fair to say that the pinnacle of filmmaking recognition is winning an Oscar, and those are typically handed out in late February, early March. However, one Michigan State University senior, Elise Conklin, is in Los Angeles this week to pick up her own Academy Award. It's for a film she worked on at MSU, the subject of which has been making headlines across the country. Current State's Jamie Paisley talked with her about the film.
We created a film called From Flint, Voices of a Poisoned City for the documentary capstone class last semester. It's been sent kind of everywhere. It recently got into the Traverse City Film Festival where it was screened. It was accepted into the Chicago International Social Change Film Festival. We've gotten into a couple, and some of them I'm not allowed to publicly say yet, and I'm trying to remember which one's which.
Yeah.
Our trailer got into the Spartan Film Festival, so that was very exciting to have something here on the home turf.
We're not just looking at Flint. We're looking at our entire state.
And right, I would... But no other state was poisoned by policy.
Detroit Water and Sewage Department had been supplying Flint with cleanest drinking water on the planet for 50 years.
As we're talking about the film, the thing that's coming up next week, where are you heading? Which feels like it should be bittersweet because, yes, it's a really big award, but there's a lot of heavy real-life drama that you've associated with this documentary.
Yeah, so absolutely.
Does it kind of split you in two different directions?
It's really weird to go dress shopping and kind of look at all these price tags and think, should I be spending, you know, this much money on, and even if it isn't like $100 ball gown or whatever to go to the actual Oscars. Like, we're going to the Student Academy Awards and there are some red carpet events and ComArts is helping us pay for plane tickets and stuff. And I keep looking at all the charges and I'm thinking, that's a lot of money. And I mean, to a student, $5 is a lot of money, but it's really, really strange to kind of see how the focus has shifted from not necessarily the film, but more the filmmakers, and we really want to make sure that it is still on Flint and the Flint water crisis. But we are very blessed and very fortunate, especially from a school not from California and not a film school, but our film From Flint was selected as a medalist. We're officially a winner of the Student Academy Awards. We don't know which award we've won yet. We won't know until the 22nd, but we're holding with bated breath and thinking gold thoughts.
Yeah. So for this project From Flint, traditionally a director works very much hand-in-hand with their producer for this one, which is Liv Larson?
Yes.
So talk us through how this project started with working with Liv.
I'm not really sure how, in comparison to a traditional documentary setup, because it was so much a team effort. Like, even she's credited as our gaffer, but Jenna Ange was... she was just our workhorse. She did everything and anything that she could get her hands on. She was making sure that everything was running as smoothly as possible. And we were all very much in that mindset. Like, we would get our job done and then we would move on to anything else that needed to be done because we were working on a very tight schedule with just the five of us pretty much constantly last semester. But Liv and I actually got really close. She is insane. Probably I would wake up to like 40 texts at 3 a.m. and she's like, okay, this is all the things that's happened. Get these on your schedule. Make sure that all this stuff can happen. Who's ready to get the equipment? Making sure everything was running as smoothly as possible. So Liv and I got really close. The way I met her, we were both in the capstone class, and she and our director of photography pitched the idea of doing a film on Flint. And I actually was really intimidated by that idea. Like, I didn't want to go in there and make some student film about how, oh, look how we're helping Flint. We didn't want to do anything like that. And I was a little intimidated that, you know, maybe if we approach this wrong, it could be actually detrimental to the people of Flint, which is something that I expressed and I voiced my concerns. But we were very much aware of those problems and any of the perceptions that might be had, like, oh, here are these kids trying to make, you know, make it big and take advantage of this story. So we talked about that a lot and made sure that the people that we interviewed were people in Flint experiencing these problems, and that we didn't have any leading questions. We didn't want to have a political angle or a political spin. And Liv was amazing at making sure that we were just walking that fine line of making sure that the Flint voices were being heard, but they were saying what they needed to say and what they wanted to say, and we weren't putting an agenda behind it.
Yeah. You brought in somebody that's a state representative as well in the film, Ed McBroom, who represents the 108th, I believe it is.
Technical detail. They should have been concerned about the public health issues. I don't think any of them were somehow bad people who were trying to do something bad. I think they just didn't take their job seriously enough.
Ed was actually kind of a funny story because our editor had already worked with him because she is a documentarian but works specifically, her major is plant biology. So she works on a lot of stuff involving agriculture, and he is, if you can't see in our interview, but he's wearing cowboy boots, like very much like kind of at home on a farm kind of guy. And the 108th district is in the UP. So it was really interesting to see how involved he was in the Flint water crisis once it broke and once there was a call for, you know, government help, how he was willing to come down and help out, even though he's from the Upper Peninsula.
Yeah.
So Lauren kind of reached out to him and she's like, you know, I know a guy and maybe he'll be down. And, it was really nice to get a Republican voice in there as well. Because unfortunately or not, I mean, a lot of us are a little bit more leaning towards the Democratic mindset as college students. It's just, they're kind of speaking a little bit more toward us. Like Liv Larson is still diehard Bernie Sanders fan. But it was really nice to get a Republican voice so that we would show that this isn't a political stunt. We don't want to push an, like again, I didn't want to push an agenda either like Democratic or Republican. It was very much just like Flint needs help no matter who you are. So it was really great to have Ed on board and talking about how he could help and what his story was specifically. But it really wasn't intimidating because he's the nicest guy. It was so cool to just kind of sit there and chat with him before and after the interview because he was very, very involved and was also very much like, if you need anything, let me know, let my staff know. I actually don't know if he's been able to see a copy of the film, but I know he sent, I think, two people from his office to come and watch the film when we had the premiere in Studio C.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That is in juxtaposition to a moment that happens in the film, which happens not in Flint, but over here in Lansing. You went to some sort of forum that happened at the Avenue, which is on Michigan Avenue, that kind of venue. And I could tell that you were just at the moment of what, in this moment, you're filming somebody from Crossing Waters, that project, and then you hear the voice of somebody screaming.
Targeted predominantly black communities. You talk about you got some policies. I haven't heard one peep about resisting the absolute.
Let me answer your question, okay? We appreciate what you're saying. We agree with you.
Talk us through that moment.
That was actually our first shoot that we had ever organized. So I didn't really know any of the team yet. We were kind of still trying to figure out what we wanted to say and what our aesthetic was. And Liv and I, if you look really closely, you can see us very far in the back, like scribbling notes as the speech was happening. And then this man who is ironically, I mean, he's in East Lansing, so a relatively well-off white man talking about institutionalized racism, which is definitely a problem, but maybe he wasn't necessarily, it seemed relatively hypocritic coming from his mouth because he's accusing Michael Hood of not helping the people that needed help most in Flint, which is actually what Crossing Water does. But Michael was very careful not to push an agenda because he is not African-American. He is not from that community, and he doesn't want to speak for that community. He wants to speak for Flint, which is a predominantly African-American city. But again, it's kind of walking that fine line of trying to make sure that everything that's being said is what Flint needs to be said, but we aren't there to push an agenda or, you know, give a voice to someone that we don't necessarily represent. So when this man started yelling, all of us just kind of froze, and our director of photography was actually getting an establishing shot from the outside of the building, and he just hears screaming, and we have the shot where he opens the door and is like, what's going on? And pans up to see this man, and I think Michael puts it the best because we actually asked him about it in our interview, and he talks about how obviously people are angry, and he doesn't begrudge anyone for their anger, and neither do I. I mean, I think that anger in response to the Flint water crisis is one of the very understandable emotions that a lot of people have. Like, how could this have happened? How are we able to see this? And it is affecting a lot of African American people. So it's clearly aggravating, but it's also really difficult to try and go in and help people. And then even though you're there to help, you can be accused of being racist or being there because you're going to go home to your nice house with running water that you can drink, and then you're gonna go to sleep and you're going to be able to sleep easy. But Michael was very much a part of the philosophy that he did not sleep easy. You could tell that this crisis took a very hard toll on him. So seeing this man accuse Michael of, you know, not necessarily representing or helping the people in Flint that needed it, you could tell that that hurt him, but he doesn't begrudge anyone that anger.
We're speaking with MSU senior Elise Conklin about the documentary she directed called From Flint, Voices from a Poisoned City. The 25-minute documentary is also recipient of a Student Academy Award, which you're accepting later this week in Los Angeles, and the majority of the interview subjects in From Flint were adults. But in the final film, you do have a segment where you spoke with a little girl, one who even wrote a letter to and prompted a visit from President Obama back in May, as well as even just a few days ago popped up in a widely shared photo, which even hit the front page of the website Reddit, a photo with Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump. Tell me about meeting Little Miss Flint.
We were fortunate enough to meet Mari on a total hoax. She was wearing her Little Miss Flint sash, and she was just the cutest thing I'd ever seen in my life. But it was a rally that we went to film, but to also participate in. And we spoke down, we kneeled down and just started kind of talking to her organically. And while Liv was conducting the interview, I asked her mother, like, is it okay if she's on camera? And her mom's like, oh God, she's been on every camera. It's completely fine. So we were able to interview her and speak to her more about, like, what's it actually like being a child in that situation. But this was before she had written the note to Obama and clearly before she met Donald Trump. But she is fearless and very, very intelligent, even though she is so young, and very aware of the problems.
Some people in my class that they asked my gym teacher to go get a drink from the water fountain, they just go drink out of the water fountain.
What do the teachers say when that happens?
They really don't care.
That was one of the most emotional moments filming for me, was hearing her. It was a much longer interview than what made the cut. But it was really impactful hearing about what it was like to actually live through it at a school. Like, she talks about how all of the drinking fountains have signs that say do not use or out of order. But sometimes the teachers, we put a lot of stress on our teachers just normally, but teachers going through a water crisis, trying to corral 20 to 30 kids, you know, sometimes a kid might, you know, drink the water fountain, and it's kind of easy because lead is invisible and, you know, it tastes fine. The water's running clear. You know, maybe you can just shrug that off because you have enough stress in your life. So that's one thing that's really tricky about lead poisoning, is that you see images on, you know, Facebook or on YouTube, or you see them in the news about these faucets that are running like completely brown water, and that's not actually the lead. There's a lot going on in Flint other than the lead, but there are people who have, because it's a water-soluble metal, and it completely disappears. It's odorless, it's tasteless, it looks like completely normal water. You can be drinking it for years before you ever think, oh, I'll test this real quick.
Now, Elise, I would be remiss if I didn't also ask you about the trip coming up to Los Angeles when you accept the Student Academy Award. I assume that much of the trip is preparing for your next step after you graduate from MSU in May. You know, plenty of reaching out and networking with the film industry.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I've gotten multiple, like, random Facebook messages and emails from people who are like, congratulations, you don't know who I am, but good job. I'm like, this is so strange. I had coffee with Kathleen Glenn a week or two ago, who is Michael Moore's ex-wife and a very prominent producer. And she was talking about how, when you graduate, let me know, because I have some people that I know in New York and, you know, obviously she's a very deeply connected individual. And the Student Academy Awards also, they make it more of a week-long event. The actual ceremony is 1 week, but I'm going to be there for 5 days before the event. And it's just networking opportunity after networking opportunity. And we were very fortunate. Originally, the Student Academy just flies out the director and puts the director in a hotel. But we were able to ask MSU, ComArts, and Media and Information to help us bring the rest of the crew out. So luckily, all five of us will be representing from Flint out there. It's been really strange, though, you know, kind of thinking about what's next, because it's usually like, oh, I have an exam in a week, instead of, you know, I'm going to have to get a job and survive in the real world.
Yeah. Speaking of getting ready for that next step, I'd love to continue this conversation, but you've got to head off to your internship, which is coming up in a few minutes.
Yeah.
So Elise Conklin, director of From Flint, Voices from a Poison City, and recipient this week of a Student Academy Award. Congratulations, and thanks for stopping by to speak with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
For Current State, I'm Jamie Paisley.